36 here on your live and local hometown radio stations. Chris Brennell should be in here shortly, but Coach Hayes is already set to go talking about the Gillette Wild. Good morning, Coach. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
I am great. A couple big wins, of course, on the road. Took down Yellowstone on Friday, 12-3. And then Yellowstone on Saturday, 5-1. That game suspended. We can get into that a little later on. But, of course, you continue on streaking through 11-0 as you're actually going to have probably a couple tough, four tough games coming up. You're taking on Bozeman for the next four games. The first two are at home, October 22nd, 23rd. Then you go on the road. November 5th and November 6th, they are third. Bozeman Ice Dogs are in the Frontier Division. So we'll get into those Bozeman games coming up. First thing that I noticed, I was in the studio board hopping, running behind the scenes thing for the Bolts game on Friday. And Chris was giving updates for the your game, the Wild game. And first off, you guys scored like two goals in 20 seconds. At one point in that game on Friday. What on earth happened there?
I just started running hot, I guess.
Wow. I mean, unbelievable. It was, I think, like 2-0, and then all of a sudden it was 5-0 in about 10-minute time.
Well, that's what we're capable of, though. I mean, not me, but that's what my guys are capable of. They have that capability to do things like that. They just need to the surface is only scratched on the potential of the team, so once they figure out how to do things like that regularly and consistently, will be extremely hard to beat.
One thing that I did notice, as I mentioned, I was watching your stats and everything as the game was going on Friday. You talked last week about how the Wild played their first full 60 minutes. But one thing I saw here, and maybe this is something that you're working on, I don't know, and I haven't really looked at stats, but Tristan Baker, a 10-minute misconduct. That's a double major there for unsportsmanlike conduct. And then you had Logan Brown on the other side. What was sounds like it was a little chippy.
Yeah, the game was chippy, but Baker's penalty was because he was talking to the ref, which is my number one rule. I'm the only one that talks to the ref. I don't have captains or assistants for that reason. No, none of the kids should be talking to them guys, and that's why. I mean, he's a pretty big piece to the puzzle, and when he sits in the box for 10 minutes, it definitely doesn't help our lineup at all.
Were you able to adjust, though? Was that a good experience for the rest of the players in that regard, trying to find something positive in that?
Yeah, we're extremely deep, so we just threw another guy in there and kept running, but it was definitely a learning experience, and he actually came to me and talked to me the next day and said, hey, I definitely understand. I apologize. I'll apologize to the boys, but he understood it. So,
all righty, Chris, what do you've got? I don't see your notes today.
Yeah,
no notes today.
I forgot them. Anyway, Golden State Warriors. Okay, a few years ago, remember that team? Klay Thompson.
Which one?
Steph
the one
Curry.
With some, yeah, some.
You know, the
names,
dynasty, yeah, team where they just like maybe down 15, rain threes. All of a sudden, they're up 6. In a hockey standpoint, your team is very similar to that. All of a sudden, you just get a bunch of goals, and it's the depth. You know, you wear other teams out. But you guys just explode offensively. There's so many games this year. I got a text during the football game Friday. I got a text, 2 goals in 17 seconds. And if actually you look at it, there's a lot of time where you guys go in offensive spurts. The game 2 weeks ago, scoreless, going into the final one, you won 5-0, scored 5 in the final stanza. I think part of it is depth, but part of it is offensive efficiency. What say you about that? Because it just seems like for hockey, your offense is almost like a basketball team or like a really good offense on a football team where you guys can go on runs and go on some spurts.
We're definitely not a basketball team because I don't even know the rules to basketball. But it's sometimes just lucky matchups, right? We have four lines that can be a lot of teams in this division's first line, all four of them. For us, and if we get matched up, you know, one of our top two lines, even three lines, even our fourth line can do some stuff. You know, they scored 2 goals in a row last weekend, but matchups are sometimes pretty lucky. If our first line gets their fourth line, that's given their first three lines a break. That's a pretty big skill difference, and they definitely realize it, and they do whatever they can to take advantage of it.
We've heard a lot about that, the four lines that you guys have, and then the depth. And I'm sure other teams are like, oh, no. Like, what are we going to do mid-season? Because the Wild have all these players, and you guys, I think in other keys, you guys are meshing well with it. You don't have a lot of big egos, it seems like. No. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm looking at it from afar.
No, we don't, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, everyone's a team guy, if that makes sense. Nobody's out there for themselves. And if you want to go to Nationals and perform and compete there, that's the attitude that has to be in the room. You can't be a selfish guy and think that you're going to help the team in that way, because you won't. And I don't put up with that stuff. Those guys get shipped out.
How'd you build that culture in such a small amount of time? I mean, you've been the Wild coach for, this is your second year. I mean,
yeah,
it's amazing.
I mean, it was definitely the biggest goal of mine coming in last year. And so everything in practice, everything was about winning or losing. And once you figure that, like, the guys didn't have that winning, like, killer instinct, right? Where everything was about, like, let's compete our butts off and, you know, see what we can actually do here. It doesn't matter if it's a 10-second drill, 45-second drill, or in-house scrimmage that we do every Tuesday. But the guys are 100% focused on doing what's best for the team, but at the same time putting out 100% effort level in whatever it is they're doing.
All right, I'm about to break the fourth wall here, because I'm going to be honest with the listeners and Vic and Ethan here. We've had plenty of coaches for the Wild come in, and I'm not going to name names. I'm not bashing any of the past players. I'm not bashing any of the coaches. I'm just going to say what I've heard. Many times I've heard we could be a really good team if the players weren't about I. And I heard that a lot from prior regimes for the Wild. And it's just different. And I think that's kind of a special thing. And you just alluded to it. The guys aren't like that. They're not coming here with I attitude. So I guess my question is this. When you go recruit, can you kind of sense?
For sure.
You can sense it. And so you know pretty much, this kid's not about himself. He's not going to give me trouble.
Yeah, 100%. I don't do it. I mean, I do recruit with film every once in a while, but I like to be face-to-face and meet them, sit at a table, have a talk, have a conversation with the kid alone, have a conversation with the parents and the kid, and then have a conversation with just the parents without the kid there. That way, I get pretty much all the information. And I tell everybody this all the time. Like, one of the things I do when I talk to the parents is, I think I said this in here already, but I say a swear word. Doesn't matter what it is, but... And then, of course, I apologize for swearing. But if they're like, oh, don't worry about it, I swear at Johnny all the time, then I'm like, all right, he can probably handle what we're going to throw at him then. But if they're like, oh, yeah, my kid doesn't hear swear words, then he probably doesn't belong here, because I swear every other third word out of my mouth.
And that's a sign, is, you know.
But, I mean, that's not anything to do with what you were talking about. It's just one of them recruiting tools that, yeah, you can tell who you're recruiting, when you're recruiting them, if you're face-to-face, and get a good feel for them in person.
I think, you know, it's funny. You just said it doesn't have much to do, but I think it does, because it's what it is if you can't get on the – and as you said, you're not going to berate the kid or be terrible to him. But if a little cuss word offends them,
yeah,
then they're fragile.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what you're getting at. And the bottom line is – fragile kids are usually, if you really study the mind, fragile kids are usually the ones that are selfish, because it's about them. And the kids that can take it are like, you know what? I can sit back. I don't have to be the star every game. And we have so many great players. We just want to win.
Right.
So yeah, I think it has a lot to do with it. That's very interesting that you can, because a lot of guys can't foresee that. It's hard to judge whether a kid is for real going to be, because a lot of kids say the same stuff. They say the right things. Hey, I'm unselfish. It's all about my teammates. But you can tell if they're full of it or not.
For sure.
I think it's very interesting. But yeah, the change of culture, I think, is the biggest reason why this team's 10-0, because yes, the Wild have had some really talented teams. They've had some really good coaches. But again, as I've said before, It's the same thing. It's hey, our team would be really good, but we have a lot of guys that just, they want the goals, they want the glory, and they don't play as a team because of it. And this team is just totally different.
All right.
Went off on a tangent.
Well, there.